You're listening to Insight from KXJZ. I'm Jeffrey Callison. There's a new guide for consumers who consider themselves socially and environmentally responsible. It includes dozens of categories of products and services, from airlines to wine, and then lists companies that provide the product or service in descending ethical order. For example, in cars, Toyota ranks above Volkswagen, which ranks above Ford. The man who wrote the book is a sociology lecturer at UC Davis. He's Alice Jones. Alice, welcome to Insight.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thanks, Jeffrey.
Why should we think that your shopping guide will make the world better?
Well, that's a great question. What I've been researching for a number of years now is this shift in our global system from the political to the economic. I really believe that the power centers in the world are shifting over from countries to large corporations. And if we want to remain relevant as citizens, if we want to promote a democracy and a democratic system, we have to change as well. And I think part of that change is shifting from what we typically think as being good citizens to being good citizen consumers, so that we get our economic voices heard as well as our political voices.
How do you advise people if they say, I know Company X is an unethical business, but they also make the best product at the best price?
Yeah, this is always a toughie for people, and it often comes up. It's either that they make the best product, or it's my favorite product, and it's very difficult to give it up. I think what's important is that each of us creates our own uniquely sustainable strategy. It's not going to be possible to buy all of the best products from the best companies all the time and make the world, a perfect place. What we're looking to do is make the world a better place. And so just like we don't often have choices on the ballot that are perfect choices when we go into the voting booth, sometimes we have imperfect choices in the supermarket. And so what's important is that you, when the opportunity comes up, you choose the products from the more ethical companies that make more of a difference in the world with social and environmental responsibility. And then, give yourself a break. If there's certain favorite products, maybe have it a little less, or you just buy some more of these other products as well in other areas of your life.
Alice Jones is author of The Better World Shopping Guide. Now, at the beginning of the book, you list the issues, which I guess are the criteria by which you're measuring the companies, and they are the environment, human rights, community involvement, and a few other categories. What if a company is terrible on environment but good on human rights? Is there a weighting system for these different issues?
That's a great question. When I came into this research, I think most of the literature out there was literature that rated companies just on their environmental responsibility. I know it's such a wonderful and important issue, and I think everybody would agree that it has to be included. But what I found was that there are these other issues that are not as well tracked, issues like human rights or issues of community support or animal protection or issues that surround social justice. And I thought it was important to get the big picture, the whole picture of a company, so that in a sense, they couldn't kind of fool consumers with being really good in this one area and then terrible in all of these other areas. So what I found is that usually what happens is when a company is making steps in one area, these other areas tend to come along in the same way. And if they're really lagging behind in one area, it tends to be an indicator of all kinds of areas. So it's every now and then I come across a company that has a kind of schizophrenia around social responsibility. But for the most part, you'd be amazed at how consistent these companies are. They either take these issues on with a very kind of serious effort and really put forward some time and energy to make a difference around them, or they really ignore them for the sake of profit.
Yeah, there's a list in the book called the 10 Best List, and number one is seventh generation. Tell us about seventh generation. What makes seventh generation so good?
Well, seventh generation, this is such a wonderful company. In fact, as a little side story, the first book that I put out in 2001 called The Better World Handbook, which is a larger book, which the second edition was just published last month. That book was inspired by a book written by the founder of Seventh Generation, Jeffrey Hollander. He wrote How to Make the World a Better Place. And after he wrote his book, he decided to found this company. He was trying to create the most environmentally responsible company around. It creates a whole line of products, everything from cleaning products to toilet papers to anything you can think of. And they try to do it in a very environmentally sustainable way. But because he was also interested in creating a socially responsible company, he has taken these issues so seriously that that company is now at the forefront of all kinds of innovations in the area of socially responsible businesses.
Another list I like in your book is the top 10 things to change. And number one is bank. Why is it important for people to make changes in the way they deal with banks and the way they choose banks over, say, gasoline or cars or something like that?
This is actually my favorite one. I think it's so important. It's such an invisible option for most people. As we all know from kind of basic home ec or finance classes, when our money sits in a bank, it doesn't actually sit in the bank. The bank goes ahead and invests it in all kinds of places. Now, for the most part, we don't choose where the banks invest this money. We don't really know where they invest this money, and it doesn't really impact us because all we're concerned with is that the money be there when we need to write a check and so forth. But what is actually happening is this bank is going out and changing the world in all kinds of ways. And when you think about it, this is one of the few options where once you start a bank account somewhere, that money is working whether you go to work or you stay at home, whether you're awake or you're asleep. That money does not sleep. That money is making all kinds of a difference in the world. And when you shift over from a regular bank, for the most part, to a more socially responsible bank, like, for example, community development banks or Shore Bank out of Washington or some of the local credit unions. What they do is they have stricter rules and regulations around exactly what kind of programs that they are investing in. Some of them invest only in projects that will help build local businesses and local communities, that will help create opportunity for inner cities or environmental programs and innovations and nonprofit work, that this kind of thing can be funded by having a checking account. And I think it's such an amazing difference that you can make that it has to be number one. You change it once, you never have to think about it again, and your money, you can sleep soundly knowing that your money is out there doing good work in the world.
Let's talk a bit about coffee. I have a hunch that if anti-globalization protesters with masks were going through a city, they'd be more inclined to to smash the windows of Starbucks than Pete's Coffee.
Yes.
But you put Starbucks above Pete's in your list.
Yes.
Why?
Well, you know, part of this research, and it was around 5 years of research, although the book itself contains almost 20 years of research that I had to go through and synthesize from a number of these different organizations. You know, I had surprises as well. I was a little shocked to see that Starbucks was coming out as well as they did. Starbucks is a really interesting corporation, I think. On the one hand, they are what we consider a typical mega corporation, very successful, ubiquitous, can be found in almost every place in the world. On the other hand, Starbucks is actually one of the few companies that, when confronted with activists that were going to create national boycotts against Starbucks, they actually decided, instead of fighting these activists, to sit down at the table with them and to talk it out. And they negotiated deals with the protesters or the would-be protesters to buy a certain percentage of their coffee from fair trade coffee producers and to set up certain opportunities so that their social responsibility would improve and begin to meet some of the needs of these activists that were dealing with issues like social justice and the environment. And that deal was good enough for those protesters to decide not to do a national boycott, and it is still good enough. And Starbucks continues to, in some ways, have all kinds of innovative ideas in the areas of environmental and social responsibility. Now, having said that, it is not by far the best option. There are all kinds of great fair trade, bird-friendly, shade-grown options for coffee that are just, head and shoulders above Starbucks. And I would still say to any of the listeners out there that, that your local coffee house is still always going to kind of hands down beat a Starbucks out in being responsible in some sense. But having said that, with all of the large coffee producers out there, Starbucks is by far your best bet.
Alice Jones is author of The Better World Shopping Guide, and he's a sociology lecturer at UC Davis. Let's turn to beer. I have a hunch, again, that a lot of people will somehow feel that Corona or Guinness have somehow more street cred than Budweiser, and yet Budweiser ranks above both. What makes Budweiser more ethical than the makers of Corona or Guinness?
Well, this is interesting, and once we get into these products that are imported, there are all kinds of subtle differences that come into play. With Budweiser, once again, it's not the greatest of the options out there.
Yeah, it gets a C.
Right. So it really is a kind of middle-of-the-road company. They do a little bit good, a little bit bad, just kind of enough to remain in the middle. Some of these other beers, for example, I'm a huge Guinness fan, and I'll admit that every now and then, despite my ethical shopping guide, I will treat myself to a Guinness, although it's not that often.
You have an Irish cap on, too, I should note.
That's exactly
for our listeners.
Right. Yeah, and it's actually not the Guinness company itself that is problematic in this case. What it is that Guinness is imported into the U.S. through another larger corporation, and it's that corporation that ends up kind of ruining Guinness's rankings in this sense, so that for us in the U.S. using this shopping guide, there are all kinds of complexities like this that show up for understanding what the impact of your dollar is when you hand it over the counter to purchase different items.
Well, given this complexity, how do you know that you're not being hoodwinked?
That is a great question. The bottom line is that this research is a first step, that what really needs to happen is very much like with candidates and with initiatives and with our voting system, is that we need to demand that there is a transparency to the social and environmental efforts and impacts of all of these companies so that we could see for ourselves all of this information. I mean, even with all the research that I did in the past 5 years for this book, going from nonprofit organizations to private organizations to government information databases and trying to synthesize that to get the best picture that I could available of what's going on there. There are all kinds of holes and gaps in the information, all kinds of information that I would love to know, but these companies don't have to release that information currently to me or anyone else. So with that in mind, just like you will never know all of what you're going to get when you finally cast your ballot at the voting booth, we are in a very similar situation here in the supermarket. We're going to cast our ballot with the best information we can. We have to get as educated as possible around all of the issues and know that in the long run, what we need is better and clearer information.
Finally, in the minute or so that we have, Alice, how about Walmart? Walmart's come under a lot of criticism for many years from many organizations and groups of people, and seems to be quite much more concerned about its image nowadays. It's number three in your bad list. Is there any sign of improvement from your point of view at Walmart?
You know, this is something else that I wanted to address in my book. I think that often, because we don't have the kind of hard data to look at all of these different companies and corporations, what we know as consumers is just what we happen to hear about in the latest media story. And I think recently Walmart has gotten a lot of media. And I think some people may be confused. They know that Walmart has gotten a lot of bad press. And then recently, suddenly there's good press. So how does Walmart really come out in the wash? One of the things I wanted to do with this research is really create a kind of stable place to go where people can say, you know, the hard data is in and Walmart is still, you know, one of the worst options out there. Now, I really respect Walmart for some of these newer options that they're putting on the table, but their ranking stays the same until they come through on all of these options, and they have a lot to clean up with just a little organic here or there.
Alice Jones, author of The Better World Shopping Guide. He has an event at the Avid Reader in Davis on Saturday evening. Go to our webpage for more information. Alice Jones, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks very much. And just let me say, betterworldshopper.org is a website that people can go to if they want to learn more.
Great. And that's Insight for today. I'm Jeffrey Callison. Our webpage, capradio.org/insight. More information every day about the guests and topics you hear on Insight. Our thanks to Krista Almanzan, a freelance reporter for KXJZ News, for her assistance with the Hood Corps segment of our program. Today's associate producer, Robin Souza. Technical director, Mark Jones. Acting assistant producer, Natalie Breen. Insight's senior producer is Jen Picard. Thank you for joining us.
You've heard of turning lemons into lemonade, so why not turn olives into olive oil? On the next Insight, hear what UC Davis is doing about its olive problem. Also, meet an Orange Vale couple that researched and wrote a book about the best of California's missions, mansions, and museums. Plus, a political humor magazine based in Sacramento celebrates its 16th anniversary. I'm Douglas Everett. Join me for Insight
tomorrow afternoon at 2 on the KXJZ stations.